This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. We're very happy for the privilege of broadcasting God's eternal and infallible truth, the most satisfactory and intelligent explanation of the Bible. Is the Bible explanation that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that it is God-breathed. When you study the Bible, the structure of the Bible, from the first of Genesis, the last of Revelation, remember that the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the human author was Moses, a shepherd, and five of the books of the Bible, including the last one, Revelation, the human author was John the fisherman. So the first writer wrote five books, the last writer wrote five books. And all the way from the first of Genesis, the last of Revelation, we have the mark of divine inspiration. All controlled by one divine mind, of course. We must remember that the Bible can be studied only intelligently when we study it from the principle of dispensational Bible study. Any subject that you take up must be studied dispensationally. You study the Holy Spirit. You have to know the difference between the work of the Holy Spirit from Adam to Moses, from Moses to Christ, and then while Christ was on earth, and then after Christ went back to heaven. Righteousness is a dispensational study. Salvation is. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, though it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, we know that he changed his ministry and changed his form with different dispensations. So we must recognize that principle. Otherwise, we will, as the critics say, we may find contradictions in the Bible. But when we study the Bible intelligently on the principle of 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth, and when we do that, if there's any contradictions, it's in the head of the man, but not in the Word of God. We thank God that His Word is forever settled in heaven. All flesh is like grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, this is one of the differences between those who are called fundamentalists, the evangelical Christians, who accept the entire book as God's Word, and those who try to give the liberal interpretation of the Bible. Now, that was settled in the beginning with Cain and Abel. It's been settled all the way through. And we're warned against those who try to deliver the Christians from being narrow-minded and narrow interpretation, limited interpretation, or literal interpretation of the Bible. And they call themselves liberals, to give a liberal interpretation of the Bible. Then we have the conservatives, who accept the Bible as the Word of God, who believe in the virgin birth and eternal deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe in salvation only by the grace of God and shed blood of Jesus Christ. They believe in all the fundamentals of the faith. You know, in the book of Jude, we're told as Christians to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. And there we're warned that certain men would creep in unawares, ordained to this ministry, who would go in the way of Cain and Korah and Balaam. Now, you know, Cain was one who rejected the message of salvation by blood. That is, the shed blood of a substitute. And he offered the works of his hand, perhaps the finest fruit and the finest flowers and the finest vegetables. He made an offering unto the Lord. But it was not according to knowledge. He was ignorant of God's righteousness, and even after he learned it, he willfully purposely rebelled and revolted against the revealed will of God, preferring his own way, as so many are doing. Now, we read in the Bible that Abel being dead yet speaketh, and it's true that Cain being dead yet speaketh, because we're warned that in the last days many would go in the way of Cain. We have them today who offer salvation by character, salvation by religion, salvation by good works, salvation by reputation, and this, that, and the other thing. Now, that was not only settled in the case of Cain and Abel, when Cain offered the sacrifice or offerings of his own doings, God rejected him. That was symbolic of being trying to be saved and trying to become righteous by man's own human endeavors and religious efforts. But by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and he obtained witness that he was righteous. And Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. In other words, today we have the same division of those who say they give the liberal interpretation of the Bible and those who are called fundamentalists, evangelical Christians. The Freethinkers magazine of New York had an article on this, and it said that we want to thank the liberals in the so-called evangelical denomination. He said they have accomplished for us in one or two generations what we failed to accomplish in centuries. With their Christianized agnosticism, they have preached their infidelity in the pulpit in Christian phraseology and Bible terminology. Well, they're certainly traitors to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're warned against them as those who go in the way of Cain and Kor and Balaam, certain men who crept in unaware. In the second book of Corinthians, 11th chapter, we're told that they're servants and apostles of Satan, but they transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ to do their deadly work. In the early first century, you remember, when Paul went through Galatia, Asia, and Asia Minor, when he went out preaching the glorious gospel of grace to the heathen, they were turned to Christ from their idols, turned to God through Christ, and they were gloriously saved. They were willing even to receive Paul as an angel from God, even as Christ himself. And some of them who realized that Paul was having trouble with his eyes, they were willing to pluck out their own eyes and give them unto him. Well, after they got through, after Paul was through with them and left, then the religious Christians and believers and unbelievers went in their midst and told them they'd have to add a little religion. So they added religious works and feast days and this and that, meet the ordinances and everything, until they frustrated the grace of God. Now Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by man's doings, Christ died in vain. And he said, these men are enemies, and they would trouble you. They pervert the gospel, the grace of God. They try to supplement the finished work of the Lord Jesus, his perfect work, the perfect work of a perfect Christ, to make it more efficacious and more power in the life of the individual. Now, in the 15th chapter of Acts, they said such a message subverts the soul. There are many religious people who are subverted instead of converted. And then Paul wrote to them in Galatians 5:9, and he said, do you not know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, you take the lump today. Let's see the condition of a crop. Today, we would say that 72% of the professing Christians are in ritualism. Yes, and about 30% of the balance, the remaining, are in fanaticism, and about 25 or 30% in modernism. There are very few people, comparatively speaking, of professing Christians who are really grace Christians, who are willing to rely solely and wholly upon the perfect redemptive work of the perfect Christ, and to believe that eternal life is the free gift of God, and believe what God says when he says, by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Well, let you and I resolve by the grace of God that we will not frustrate the grace of God, because God says if you do, and pervert the gospel, you will preach another gospel, and if any man preach another gospel, let him be anathema. As God said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. It's a spiritual crime to add anything to the grace of God and the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God tried and tested the human race for 1,500 years from Sinai to after Calvary in a program of doing. And man was an absolute failure. And then God's people, we're told, his nation, stumbled at that stumbling stone. They did not want righteousness by grace through faith. They did not want the perfect work of Christ. They wanted either all Moses or to mix Moses with Christ. They could not understand how the Gentile heathen could be turned to Christ from their idols without going by the way of Moses. So they were determined, if they didn't go from heathenism to Moses to Christ, that they would have Moses after they received Christ. So they added the law of Moses to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and thought they would make it more efficacious, the gospel, but they frustrated the grace of God and perverted the gospel, which God called a spiritual crime, and which brought the anathema of God upon him. Well, it developed until there was a little more works and a little less grace, and a little more works and a little less grace. Oh, see what we have today in Christendom. You have some people that put you back under the law, and you've got to keep the seventh-day Sabbath, and you have to do this and do the other thing, feet washing and all kind of ritualism and works, and we see what the condition of the world. Now, in the midst of this, God has his servants who are preaching the unmixed message of the grace of God. That's the greatest need for the human race. When you stop to think that salvation is just as free as the air we breathe. Yes, you can just, as you go out and take in the sunshine today and take in the fresh air of God, you can just say, here I am, the ungodly, lost, hell-bound, ruined sinner for whom Jesus Christ died. And God says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And we can be declared righteous without a cause by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, as we said, the free thinkers want to thank the liberals in the church for propagating Christianized agnosticism in the name of evangelical Christianity. We're living in perilous times, and we're told what to do. To contend for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. As Paul said, if I please men, I am not the servant of the Lord. Now, when we contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints, we may not be popular with the world or with the religious world, but we're seeking our popularity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him. We're going to give an account to him at the judgment seat, and we do want to be faithful and true in standing for the great fundamental of the faith, the inspiration of the Bible, the virgin birth and eternal deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the personality of Satan, the personality and eternal deity of the Holy Spirit, the bodily resurrection of the Son of God, his premillennial coming, that the blessed Son of God is the hope of the world, he's the hope of the church, and this age of grace in which we live. God is forming the body of Christ, making the one new man of Ephesians 2:15. All who are redeemed by the grace of God and faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ immediately become members of the one body. God's not building two churches or 200 churches. God's building one church, and that church is the body of Christ, and we're all baptized by one Spirit in the one body, and we become members of that body just the moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing in the Bible about joining the church. You are identified with some local organization, perhaps, but you become a member of the one true church when you're baptized by one Spirit into one body, and God says there's one Spirit, one baptism, and one body. And God is not building more than one body. He's going to build the tabernacle of David after he gets through, but now he's completing the body of Christ. And so there are many things that we speak of when we talk about contending for the faith. The one God, the one Holy Spirit, the one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one church, the one baptism, the one one faith, and the one hope. All of these in the sevenfold unity in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago.